So our text is from our Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah, the 60th chapter. These words, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on Epiphany, the day of revealing, the day of manifestation, we celebrate the coming of the wise men to Bethlehem to worship the King of the Jews, Jesus Christ. But even more so, we celebrate that those wise men found the King of the Jews, Jesus, by, of all things, following a star. Now, of course, Jesus Christ, being the Lord of creation, he through whom all things were made, we read right in John chapter 1, makes sense that creation itself, a star, would announce his birth. But even more significant, that is for us, is the fact that in that one to whom the star pointed, creation itself, all of creation would be redeemed. All of creation would be renewed and restored from its subjugation to sin, to death, and to the prince of this world, Satan. In short, Epiphany is a celebration of the fact that Jesus is not just the King of the Jews, but he is the King of creation. He's the King of all people. He is our King. For he would redeem all people everywhere from sin and from death and from the devil. So the Christmas season, it begins with the announcement of the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament in the birth of that baby Jesus in Bethlehem, the city of David. And the Christmas season ends with the proclamation that the one who fulfilled the prophecies of the Old Testament did so not just for the kingdom of Israel, but for all people, everywhere, for us. Tied together, understandably, with Epiphany, then, is the star, the idea of light. As in, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, or in him was life, and that life was the light of men, or as our text puts it, arise, shine, for your light has come. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but not much can be done in darkness. Now, before your brain goes running off where it should not go there, I'm not talking about darkness where there's a little bit of light, a tiny bit of light, so that we still can see something when our eyes adjust. No, I'm talking about complete and total and utter darkness. Years ago now, Christy and I were caught in a spring downpour at night up north, driving down an unfamiliar country road in our old 72 Newport. Rain was coming down so fast that the windshield wipers couldn't keep up, and we could barely see the road at all. And then suddenly, we hit a low spot in the road that was filled with water, and water came up over the hood, and the headlights went out. The headlights and all the lights in the car. And for a few seconds, we couldn't see a thing, not one thing. So I had to slow down, and I would have come to a complete and total stop if the headlights, hadn't popped on again. But that's what darkness does, doesn't it? Darkness slows us down. And the darker the situation, the slower we must go. Whether we're in our cars or we're walking back to our campsite from an outhouse down an unfamiliar path through the woods in the middle of the night, or even feeling our way through our basements after a power outage, darkness slows us down. Darkness even stops us completely. And spiritual darkness, it does the same. Spiritual darkness. Now, what's that? Well, spiritual darkness is what happens on the inside of us, in our minds, in our souls, in our spirits, when falling into sin, that is committing a sin, and then committing it again and again, we begin to experience guilt. Guilt even becomes a constant companion to us. Yes, we fight it. We fight that guilt, somehow justifying what we said or did or even thought, but our conscience, it doesn't leave us alone. Indeed, it hounds us, that conscience, and it never lets us be. Living with it then, living with guilt, feeling guilty, we begin to what? We begin to reinterpret the world around us, what people say to us, what people do for us, how the world in general works, and that reinterpretation, driven as it is by our guilty conscience, can get pretty ugly. We think the worst. We expect the worst. We suspect and we fear the worst. And then what happens? Well, then the things that we say, the things that we do from that perspective, they can just make matters worse. How so? We offend. We anger. We alienate. And before we know it, the world in which we used to live, the world of friends and family, encouragement and love, is a world of guilt, growing in emptiness and increasing in despair. And it can get to the point where we really, really are afraid to say anything to anyone. We hesitate to do anything, for we don't know what the result will be. And we even start to wonder what to think, because our thoughts in such a situation, we have learned, simply can't be trusted. What has happened? What's happened? We've discovered that we're in complete and total and utter darkness. Spiritual darkness. Spiritual darkness. Sin has led to guilt, and guilt has led to shame, and shame has caused us to completely draw into ourselves, and we're stuck. We cannot move. We need, what we need is light. What we need at such times is spiritual light, a light for our minds, a light for our souls, a light for our spirits, and that is a light which will once again enable us to think and to speak and to act apart from sin, apart from guilt, and even apart from shame. Well, that light is none other than that little baby Jesus, whom the wise men found by following a light, following a star. Why is Jesus such a light, even such a spiritual light? Jesus is such a spiritual light because he can remove the darkness from within us caused by sin and guilt and shame. Jesus does this. He does this by saying to us through his word, look, yes, you have done what you should not have done. You are right to feel guilty for what you've done. Why? There's nothing you can do to make up for it, to fix it, to repair it. So that's where I come in. I have done what needs to be done for your sin. I've done that which is powerful enough to remove your guilt, to relieve your conscience, to eliminate your shame. I've offered myself as a sacrifice to my Father in heaven, to our Father in heaven, for what you have done. And you know what? He accepted it. Our Father in heaven accepted what I did for you when I died on the cross for your sin. So that means simply and plainly right this moment that your sin has been forgiven. That you are forgiven. Believe in me as your sacrifice for sin, as your Savior from sin, as your Redeemer from sin, and my Spirit will come into your heart and remove the guilt that resides there. This is why, then, Jesus is our light. Because when he convinces us by his Spirit that our sin has been forgiven, it is as if sitting in a place of utter darkness, unable to move, suddenly a bright light is shown upon us and we can get up, we can move. We can see where we're going, we can see all around us, we can see even into the distance. So our text, arise, shine, for your light has come. Yes, in Jesus Christ, our light, in Jesus Christ daily, our sins are forgiven. We can arise, and not only can we arise, that is, live in the world from day to day, speaking and thinking and doing. Yes, not only can we arise, but we also can shine. Now, that word shine, it's an interesting word, isn't it? We use it in a number of ways, like, hey, shine that flashlight over here, or hey, what beautiful sunshine. We say that every once in a while here in Minnesota. Or, hey, he really shined up the car. Now, it's this last instance of shine in which I'm interested this morning, because when we shine up a car, what do we do? When we shine up a car, what do we do? It's not like we somehow imbue it with light, that somehow we can take some light and we can soak the car in light or bathe it in light. No, all that we do when we shine up a car, when we shine up anything, is make it so that it reflects light better. That's all we do when we shine something. We make it so that it reflects light better than it did before. Car covered with dirt, with grime, salt, can barely reflect any light at all. So all of that stuff, that dark stuff, has to be removed in order for the car to reflect the light of the sun and look really shiny. Well, our spiritual dirt removal takes place when we confess our sins, when we acknowledge that they are there, and we do not want them to be there anymore. And when we do that at that moment, what ultimately happens? We're then more clearly able to reflect the light which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, the light of Christ shining upon us, our sin removed, our guilt removed, not only can we arise, can we live and move and act and speak and think again, but that living, moving, acting, speaking, and thinking reflects the light of Jesus Christ, our Savior, that is more closely resembles His life of love. So as we head out now into this season of light, this epiphany, this revealing, this making known, let's live daily in that light. The light of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us rise. Let us shine, for our light has come. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.